Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We welcome you to the Bible study today, praying that by the Holy Spirit, and thank God for the Holy Spirit, the best, the only teacher and the revealer of His truth, may by the Holy Spirit you and I come into a fuller knowledge and a better understanding concerning the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We continue our present study relative to the incarnation of the Son of God. Our closing moments of the preceding message took us into the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, and I would like to read, if I may, the words of the angel Gabriel in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 35, and continue the meditation upon this section, where the angel answers Mary to say unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." I would like to dwell upon the latter part of the verse, where after the Spirit of God tells us the words of the angel concerning the conception of Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary will be by the Holy Ghost. Note the words the angel closes with, saying, "Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." I'd like to emphasize three words in this statement. That holy thing. Can I repeat it? My beloved listener, dwell upon the person of Christ in your thoughts and within your heart, I pray, and recognize as the angel Gabriel declares to Mary of the coming birth of Jesus. He reminds her, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That holy thing, what does that suggest to you? What should that suggest to me? As the angel speaks, saying, that holy thing, does it not suggest the perfection of his humanity? My beloved, I wish to emphasize the perfection of his humanity. For when Christ the Son of God took upon himself the form of humanity, that blessed human person had nothing to do with sin. Please note, that holy thing which shall be born of thee. My beloved, you've got to confess, he was a holy child from conception and birth, as well as through his life. Beloved, let me put this before you in thought. This could never be said of any other human being. You remember the day that the psalmist in penitence cried with a broken heart? In chapter 51 of the Psalms, "In sin did my mother conceive me." And beloved, he acknowledged he was born in sin. Now please, I'm touching upon a very serious subject relative to the holy person of Christ, that even at his conception and before his birth, the angel Gabriel testifies to his perfect humanity. Holy. Well, did the apostle Paul write in Hebrews, saying in chapter 9, he was holy without and holy and spotless and harmless and undefiled. And the angel Gabriel testifies his humanity had nothing to do with sin, whether personally, in his person, or relatively to his conduct. Now, I want to make a statement, which I hope will be understood and appreciated. When God's dear Son took upon him humanity, he did not take upon himself our fallen, sinful nature in union with his. Oh, no. Let me give you this thought. that which is incorruptible can never unite with that which is corruptible. And my beloved, I want you to distinguish the precious and the glorious truth, who it was that came down to the earth, and what he was, even in the days of his conception and the days of his humanity. Holy, without blame, without spot, without blemish. Could he not say in defiance to his enemies, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" Did not Peter write, "He did no sin"? Did not Paul write, "He knew no sin"? Did not John write, "In him is no sin"? Beloved, what think ye of Christ? Ah, beloved, what thoughts should be ours, sacred, holy, and pious, as we dwell upon that fact? Now I want to dwell upon a most important truth relative to the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. Two of them. Listen very carefully. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, became at the same time and in absolute perfection very God and very man. Can I repeat it? The Son of God became at the same time and in absolute perfection very God and very man. In becoming flesh, though he laid aside his outward glory, which was his in the heavens above, he never laid aside his deity. Every divine attribute that belonged to him as deity, every divine attribute of God was retained by him. Even the relative attributes of omniscience and of omnipotence and of omnipresence. Beloved, please let me say, I want you to note, to believe the truth, he was both very God and man at the same time. Now let me give you some examples illustrating it from his life. You read in John chapter 4, he was weary and tired as he sat on the well side. Yet that same one who was weary and tired, he called the weary to rest. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, "Come all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Then also, if you read in Mark's Gospel chapter 11 and verse 12, he was hungry. You see the humanity of his person clearly. But yet at the same time, as you may read in John 6:35, he called himself the bread of life. And you well know how he fed the 5,000 beside women and children. Then you read in chapter 4 of John where he spoke to the woman at the well, Sychar's well. He was thirsty. He said to the woman, "Give me a drink." And yet we don't even read that she ever gave it to him. And yet he was the water of life. And he offered her living water. And then when you come, if I may speak very reverently, in Luke chapter 22, and see him in the agony of his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating as it were great drops of blood that fell to the ground in the agony of his soul, he was suffering. But how many scriptures could I cover if I show to you he healed all kinds of diseases? But he never sought to alleviate his own sufferings as he faced the cross of Calvary and the agony in the garden. You see both the human side and the divine side. And yet we read in Matthew chapter 4, as well as in Luke 4, he was tempted by Satan. He was permitted to be tempted by Satan. Satan wanted a breakdown. This is not a holy man. This is not a perfect man. And you know that Satan failed. And though he was tempted, yet may I suggest, as God, he could not be tempted. And then may I also suggest, as we've also mentioned, he prayed. You have occasions in Luke's Gospel, I think 7 times, where he prayed. And yet during his lifetime, he answered prayer. May I remind you, too, in John chapter 11 at the tomb of Lazarus. He wept at the tomb. There you recognize the example. He was both very God and very man. He wept at the tomb as a man, and yet he called the dead to arise. And if that is not a proof of his deity, I don't know any greater. And yet, may I also add, in his humanity he died. And yet John tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2, yet he himself is the eternal life. Please let me state, I wish to bring this before your heart. I want you to know the person of Christ better than I want to know him better too. His divine person was never limited by his humanity, but neither did he ever minister to his own human needs from his own divine resources. I want to repeat that in substance. I'm trying to illustrate two important truths relative to the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. At the same time, he became absolute God and absolute man. Very God and very man. And beloved, and as you see by the examples of his life, you see the flashes of deity as he manifested his power as God. Whether it be to heal, to still the waves of Galilee, to raise the dead, name it. You see the glory of his deity, and yet you see him suffering, tired, weary, and all through his life of testing and suffering, he never lifted the power of his deity to alleviate his own human suffering. But he did all that he could to alleviate others. Oh, my beloved, in becoming flesh, though he laid aside his heavenly glory, he never laid aside his deity. Every divine attribute of God was retained. But, you and I could see him. I covet earnestly that you will see him. Look upon him in the pages of the Gospels as you read of his life and see the one who was both very God and very man at the same time. There's no other like him. Father, may we know thy dear Son better. In Jesus' name we pray, and we ask it for his glory and the blessing of all our listeners, yea, their eternal blessing. Amen.